I hope everybody's having a good week and seeing the Lord's blessings and experiencing His grace. A lot of times, you know, we think of blessings, and it comes from our fleshly instinct, of course. But a lot of times, we only think of blessings in a positive light, in the sense of, well, the only way that I can get a blessing from the Lord is He's doing something that I think is good. But a lot of times blessings come in different packages, you know. And I think we ought to be thankful for all God's blessings, whatever package they may come in. If it's from the Lord, it's a blessing. And we can count on that. But I'm thankful for you folks being faithful to the Wednesday night service, coming here and gathering together around God's Word. And I'm just thankful for what the Lord's doing here. We had a good services on Sunday. Just want to appreciate the good spirit there and an encouragement you are to me personally. Just as I'm preaching, of course, you know, I can't see everybody, but I see mostly everybody. I try to see what's going on. And I tell you, you guys are just so very attentive. And that encourages the preacher. I want you to know that. I appreciate it so much. And I'll tell you one thing, too. I don't know, has anybody felt maybe a little glimpse of fall in the air? Has anybody? Oh, man, that's glorious, isn't it? That just gets me excited. And I think it was two nights ago, the humidity level, I think, dropped down significantly. And I was just having all kinds of things flow through my mind, hunting and camping and hiking, campfire. Man, I was in the zone, and I'm hoping to do some of those things. And then, of course, you know, you think about fall, you think about Friday night football and college football, and man, it just it's good. And aren't you thankful there's something to look forward to in every season? Of course, except if you're from Minnesota, but we're not going to talk about that. My wife, I don't see how they can look forward to that winter. That can be brutal. But praise the Lord. It is good to see y'all smiling face tonight. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm not going to be too long with our study. I'm sort of I'm introducing a subject tonight. And I come before you honestly in my heart. I come before you trembling because I just want to make sure that I handle this subject and this topic very carefully and appropriately, and that subject is the subject of spiritual warfare, and something that I am not an expert on, do not claim to be. I do know that it's a very real thing. I don't want to talk about these subjects to be spooky, to try to scare people, so to speak. But I'll use another S, not to scare you or not to scare me, but to sober us. Because, you know, that's what Peter did say. He said, you need to be sober-minded, very, very clear-minded, very a mind of understanding that this thing is real. And, of course, he went on to say to be vigilant as well. But I'm just going to talk about the first part. We're going to be talking about our position in spiritual warfare. We're going to be talking about the power that our enemy does have. We're going to talk about how that is limited, but it is very powerful. We'll talk about, not all tonight, we'll be talking about later on our preparation for battle. And we'll get into the armor and talk about how we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we'll talk about our prayers to thwart the enemy. And just as your pastor, I just want to tell you, I've sensed in my heart, even in my own life, not just in your lives, but in my own life, I have sensed Satan's attacks. And it's very real. And I'm sensing that. And I just felt strongly impressed. I did not plan to do this. In fact, I'll be honest with you. My first Wednesday night plan was to start a study on Sermon on the Mount. And we'll have to come back to that at another time. But But God says, no, you need to deal with this. You need to just study it and prepare yourselves, remind yourselves of the truth that's there. And so that's exactly what we're going to try to do so that we might be able to stand. Because we do have an enemy. We do have an adversary. There's no doubt about it. And I believe that as we begin this new chapter of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, Satan would like nothing more than to cause division and to destroy us. However way he can get in, by the way. I don't necessarily know that he has a preference, but he'll take anything we can give him. And I believe he is coming on all fronts. But one of the things I'm encouraged about that, and I think about it, meditate upon this very subject, and since his attacks, is that means that God is trying to do something. That means our God is seeking to do something continually special here and with this church. And that is a sure sign to me and should be to the believer when these attacks and the fiery darts are flying. Guess what? God is wanting to do something through us. And Satan is going to be trying to step on the scene, and he is going to try to hinder God's work. And we're going to talk about how do we respond to this? Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I am so very grateful for these folks here tonight who are coming out to Wednesday night Bible study. They're faithful. Lord, they want to hear the Word. They want to pray together. And Lord, I just pray that you would just minister to hearts tonight. Lord, Holy Spirit, speak through me, God. I don't claim to be an expert on this subject. Lord, I studied it. Lord, I believe I'm going to say what you want me to say. And if there's anything else, God, I pray you just impress upon my heart. And Father God, we just need you. We cling to the cross of Jesus. I say with the hymn writer, in the cross, oh God, is where I want to be. I want to be in Christ, Lord. I cling to you because I have nothing else of my own to cling to. And so, Lord, I pray you just help us now as we look to thy word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's just like any type of battle, any type of war, it's the real deal. You know, it's like and right before we were really engaged as a country into World War II, you know, a lot of Americans were sort of complacent. They knew the wars were going on, of course, and that trouble was brewing over in Europe and, of course, down in Japan and the threatenings and whatnot. But, you know, it became a rude awakening at Pearl Harbor that morning and early December. And that attack caught them off guard. And they knew they were threatenings. I'm sure the military was aware of threatenings that had been around there, but they didn't know about any specific attacks. But there were lots of men that lost their lives, lots of men and women who lost their lives, and it was a serious attack. But they caught them off guard, and I just think that that's something that we need to just think about spiritually in our lives. We don't want Satan catching us off guard. We want to be ready. And by the way, we'll talk about this here in a minute. We are not attacking Satan. He may attack us, but I don't attack Satan, okay? Jesus attacks Satan. And that's why he told Joshua, and you'll see it all through the Word of God, there that the principle is that God fights for us. I have no match for Satan. I confess that tonight. But boy, do I cling to my God. Or do I cling to my God? That's kind of like those battle tanks. I don't know if you've ever been in one and toured one, but they're all various sizes and strengths. And these battle tanks of, I don't know, some of you may know the models and whatnot, but boy, you climb into those things and, man, you can withstand all kinds of bullets and even bombs and different things. You're inside, you're protected inside that tank. And man, you can let the bombs go yourself. And I see that as us in Christ. He is our protective shell because we are in Him. That is our position. And that's my point tonight. First point is our position and this thing of spiritual warfare. Well, can I say this dogmatically? And if you catch anything tonight, folks, catch this. Our position in spiritual warfare is a position of victory. A position of victory. The victory was won, hallelujah, at the cross of Calvary. And Satan needs to be reminded of that because I believe it makes him curl. I believe it makes him shake in his boots if he's got any. I don't know if he does, but I know one thing. It makes him scared, the cross. Not me, but the cross. Hey, I want to tell you something. He is scared of King Jesus. He trembles. Well, I mean, it's obvious as we look at the Gospels. We don't have time, but what happened when Jesus would approach these ones possessed by demons? They were scared to death. It's because that's King Jesus. And I want to tell you folks tonight, before we engage in spiritual warfare, we need not think for one moment that we go in it alone. We need not think one moment that we can stand alone in this thing of spiritual warfare. No, we stand in Christ. And He is our position. It is a position of victory. You know, they thought they had the victory. The demonic forces and Satan himself. They tried to, of course, get him there in the womb of the Virgin Mary. After he was Jesus was born, of course, you know that Satan wanted to take Jesus out as soon as he could through that wicked king. And through that time, Herod and others were seeking to wreak havoc and murder the Son of God. And the devil was behind all of that. But that all led all the way up to Calvary. And when they thought they had Him, didn't they think they had Him? They thought they had Him. They thought they had Him. I'm just using my sanctified imagination, but I'm just trying to think about the demons and the devil thought that they had it won. The Son of God, look at Him. Man, every torturous blow upon the face and the body of the very Son of God must have been followed by a mockery laugh by the demonic armies. They must have been shouting as if it was a wedding feast, celebrating what was about to take place. And as they laid the Son of God upon that cross of Calvary, and as He was shedding His precious blood, they did not expect to what was going to come, but it did come. And that is the Lord Jesus says, "It is finished." And they still tremble when they hear it, because there's nothing they can do about it. He paid it. He paid the sin sting, the sting of death. He paid it. And as they were celebrating, they all of a sudden started cowering because of what they saw taking right before their demonic eyes. And Satan himself, thinking he had the victory, it was lost. We stand from a position of victory. Look there with me over in Colossians 2:15. Just look over two chapters. Excuse me, two books there. Now, in the context here, he's dealing with some traditionalism, Phariseeism. He's dealing basically adding to what Christ did on the cross. But through that, he also brings in the spiritual realm and how he conquered them. Look there in verse number 14. He says there in verse 14, Paul, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And get this, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That verse right there, verse 15, simply explains that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He made them the shame and the mockery. He made them the ones that were embarrassed. He proved them wrong. And it was an open demonstration of God's power upon them at the cross. He spoiled the principalities and powers. He made a fool of them. He showed them that He was the conqueror and He was the victorious one, and He triumphed over them in it. You know, it's like the Roman soldier who would come in after a great victory, and many times instead of murdering the soldiers just to finish off the battle, he would keep some for the parade, and that he would lock them on to the chariots. And as they would come through the city, and the people are roaring, you know, and that's the picture that the Word of God is giving, you know, Jesus Christ doing that to the demons. Hey, they're under His control now. They're under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they got a little leeway, but that's leeway that He gives them. And that's because of the curse of sin. That has to be. And one day, of course, they will all be sent to the lake of fire. But until then, they do have space to play, if you will. Space to wreak havoc. And that's where God's people have to wake up. And we have to be alert. And we have to be vigilant and realize that, listen, although we are fighting from a position of victory, we still can be affected. And we still can be harmed in the sense of the way we are living today. They can do nothing, thank God, with my salvation. That's under the blood of Jesus Christ. That does not change. All right, I am in Christ. He cannot take that away from me. No, man, we know that. But I want to tell you something. He sure can hurt and harm. The demons can hurt and harm, and we'll talk more about that here in a minute. But we see that our position is from victory. And by the way, this is something that I have to remind myself of. Sometimes we get the idea that just because we are in Christ for salvation, that we really don't have to worry about Satan that much. The idea is, well, I'm in Christ. And you are, okay, if you've been born again. But you got to remember this. What did Jesus say in John 15 and the principle of abiding? Okay? When we abide in Christ, He says, without Me, you can do nothing. And get this, church, and this is something we got to understand. When we start stepping out of the abiding life, when we get out of the practice of full and total surrender to Jesus Christ of our hearts, of our minds, you become and I become a prime target for Satan. Because you'll see here in our passage, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. It says there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The point there is that it's in the Lord. That's where the strongness, that's where the strength, if you will, that's where the strength is found, in the Lord. And it's in the power of His might. It's not my might, but it's in the Lord. And if we're going to stand, we got to stand. If we want to stand from a place of victory, it simply has to be in Jesus Christ. It's not in my power. It's not in your power. But that's where we will stand as a position. Listen, I want to encourage your heart tonight, dear folks. Listen, yes, we may have the fiery darts coming around us left and right, but I want to tell you something. Remember, you are fighting from a position of victory. And you can be strengthened and encouraged with that, but we must remember not to take that for granted, because then you have the power of the enemy. Now, I'm not going to be able to go and finish it up tonight, but we can start it. We see that the power of our enemy there, as you go down, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, which we will talk about that more, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the trickeries, all right? So look here, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's something we need to understand right away. When we start talking about the power of the enemy, folks, we are not talking about fighting against man. That's flesh and blood. That is flesh and blood. It's not man that we're fighting against, but it's Satan that we're fighting against. Now, he uses people, no doubt about that, but he's the culprit. He is the one that is behind it all. Men may hurt us, they do. Men harm us, they do. Men hate us.
They do.
Men hinder us. Oh, yes, they do. But I want to tell you, Satan is behind every move of it. Wicked men. Satan's using them just like a chess player, just moving the players around as he sees fit for the perfect timing. He knows when to move them. And we wrestle, the Word of God says, not with flesh and blood, not just with men. But I tell you, we're wrestling against Satan himself and the powers of darkness. You know, he remains in the unseen world. But get this, he does not remain unseen to the spiritual eye. He does not remain unseen to the spiritual eye, to the spiritual discerning believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can detect his devices. We can detect his movements. That's why Paul said, as we mentioned the other day, he said, listen, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Or what is the opposite of that? Being aware, being knowledgeable, detecting, and with our spiritual radars, if you will, that when he is coming, he's coming for us. And we see here that there's four areas of satanic dominion in our world. It says, of course, first it says, but against principalities, there's one. Against powers, that's two. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, that's three. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's four. The principalities gives the idea, folks, of ranks. Okay? And if you can kind of imagine how it was before the fall of Lucifer, not the fall of man, but the fall of Lucifer, you imagine that. We are talking about angels that at one time enthroned Jesus Christ there and encircled Jesus Christ around His throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy." They were the ones singing God Almighty and praising Him. And there were different ranks, just like they are, we know, with the good angels. And we know that they had different positions because we see the Michael, the archangel, okay? We see Gabriel and the different positions of the angelic ranks. And that exists upon the fallen angels too, because what happened when Lucifer rebelled against the God of glory, when he rebelled against that, of course, he took an army of demons with him. And their desires, we see the principalities, those are the ones we're wrestling with. And they are very real. And the moment that we get into a complacent place where we almost think it's sort of a joke, that this thing of demons and spiritual warfare, the moment we think it's a joke, you are a prime target for Satan's attacks. We see that there are principalities, but then powers, it says. The powers of darkness. But these powers, I'm not going to underestimate those powers, because here's one thing that I'm encouraged about. Not only that am I in the right position in Christ for spiritual warfare, and that's where I need to remain, but here's another thing too. Neither Satan nor the demons are all powerful. They're not all powerful. They're not omniscient. They're not all knowing. They're not omnipresent. The devil can't be everywhere at the same time. But he is very powerful. In fact, more powerful than honestly you and I can conceive. I mean, it's just one something that we cannot fathom, okay? Something that we cannot understand, and that is the power of Satan. But thank God, greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. You know, the rulers of the worlds of darkness, they're all around us. I'm not going to sit here and try to be spooky to you this evening, because I'm not going to say there's demons in this room or whatnot. There could be, I don't know. But I know one thing, they're very active all around us in our communities, in our workplaces, in our country. When I was in Niger, I experienced it firsthand. I saw it firsthand. It's a very real thing. And Satan is using, and he uses men. Demons will use men, but it's very real. We need to be ready to fight them. And then we also see these wicked spirits. It says, look there in our text, it says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That carries the idea of wicked spirits. These spirits, these demons, they know no bounds in wickedness. That's why God had to destroy the earth already one time by the flood. Because there's no bounds to their wickedness. And they are seeking to simply wreak havoc upon our lives. You know, I guess what I'm trying to do tonight, church, again, I'm not trying to spook you, but I sense a very real attack from the rulers of darkness upon our church. And I'm just simply encouraging you and exhorting you tonight, church, that let's covet together before our God, that we will simply try to remain in Christ in the right position, the victorious position, that we are in Him positionally for salvation, but let's remain in Him, let's abide in Him for constant sanctification, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, I think about, I believe it's Mark chapter 10, don't quote me on that. I didn't write it down. I thought about it earlier. Thought about those disciples that were doing a great work for God, but they kind of hit a wall one time, and it threw them for a loop. It simply threw them for a loop. And basically what it came about is they could not cast out demons out of some demon-possessed people. They couldn't do it. And it threw them for a loop, and they came to Jesus. And Jesus, already knowing what the problem was and had already foreseen it, and they came and said, "Look, we can't cast out these demons." Okay, that's spiritual warfare. Okay, that was some spiritual fighting there. Now, it was apostolic times, if you will. It was during the apostles, and of course, they had a little different job description when it came to demons. At that time, we do not have the authority to cast out demons, okay? In this dispensation, Jesus can cast out the demons. But during that dispensation, it was a little different. But the principle was still there. It was spiritual warfare, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus told them, He said, "This kind." What do you mean, "this kind, Lord Jesus"? I believe He was talking about some spiritual warfare where Satan was succeeding. Satan was making a way, and the disciples came to a point. Look, we've come to a point in our ministry. We've come to a point in our life, and we saw what God, what Satan was doing in the lives of this person, but we sort of, Lord Jesus, felt helpless. Couldn't do anything. And church, I don't want us to ever be in that position where we're just standing by and saying, "Oh God, we can't do anything." No, that's not God's will for us. God's will is for us to stand. To stand, and we'll see it stand, and not just stand open arms, to stand with the whole armor of God, and to allow God, our Savior, to fight for us. But there's going to be a price to pay. And the first place it starts, again, is simply being aware that it's so real. And we will covet together to fight against it. Let me close with a quote, I believe, here that was an encouragement to me. I hope it will be to you. This is a man, F.J. Hugel was his name, a very godly man used of the Lord. He says, "I found that my own carnality and selfishness had given the ground they held to these monsters of hell. I myself had invited them in." He's not talking about possession. He's talking about oppression. He said, "I must get rid of self, else there could be no hope of final victory. These powers of darkness, demons, are as real to me now as God Himself," he said, "which were oppressing me to the point of despair. We're standing on the very ground which secret selfishness had conceded to them." Did you get that, church? Secret selfishness had conceded to them. Now get this. How was I to get rid of this self-life, which had no long been standing out against Christ and making a way for the enemy to come in like a flood? He said, "Ah, had I but known of that standard, the cross, which must be lifted up against the prince of darkness. Such a struggle as mine would never issue in victory except the cross be given the place of absolute supremacy in my life in ministry. You see that? I believe the devil trembles at the cross, church. And that, listen, and I'm not talking about, I don't know if it's in Catholicism, I don't know where it's seen it, but our brother is not talking about taking an emblem or some sort of piece that's shaped like a cross and holding it up or holding against the devil. No. It goes way, 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 way deeper than that, church. You know what I believe he's talking about? I believe he's talking about what Jesus was talking about. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Get that secret selfishness out of the way. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up my cross, his cross, and follow me. And that's the cross we're talking about. And that's the place where God can use us. And that's the place where God will fight for us. But church, if we ever get to the place where we refuse to be in that position, Satan will have a heyday. But we're not going to let him do that, are we? Amen? That's exactly right. We're going to submit ourselves, therefore, to the mighty hand of God. We're going to resist the devil, and the Bible promises that he will flee. We're going to claim that verse. We're going to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. We're going to resist the devil, and we're going to continue our study in this matter of spiritual warfare and let God have his will and way. Let's pray. Father, you know, this has been a struggle for me and knowing exactly how to come forth with this subject. I feel like I've been battling all day, Lord. But God, I thank you for the victory. I thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that as we stand, and as we stand in you, Lord, in the Lord, and as we fight by the power of His might, and as we don the whole armor of God, the devil has no chance. Lord, I'm thankful that he was defeated already. And he's a liar. Lord, I'm thankful that he's done. His place is the lake of fire, Lord, and I'm thankful that, Lord God, that you're watching over us and that you're going to protect us and, Lord, you're going to use us to reach this community for your glory. And, Lord, we claim no dependence upon ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to covet together, that we will seek to keep short accounts, that we will keep no secret selfishness, no secret sins that would allow Satan to come in and wreak havoc, that we would covet together, God, to stay close to the cross of our Savior. Lord, only by thy power and thy might, Lord, oh God, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.